A Contra podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Contra AI. Welcome to the deep dive.
Today we're really getting into a landmark piece of history, Doris Kearns Goodwin's The Bully Pulpit.
That's right. Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, and the golden age of journalism. It covers that absolutely pivotal era, roughly 1890 to 1920.
And time when, well, America basically reinvented itself.
It really did. And the book tackles this huge question. How did the U.S. manage to pull itself out of the Gilded Age? I mean, You had these massive monopolies, corruption everywhere, just staggering inequality.
Yeah, how did that change happen?
Well, Goodwin argues it wasn't just one thing. It was this dynamic connection between a really powerful president, Theodore Roosevelt, and this new force investigative journalists, the muckrakers.
And Goodwin layers this political story with a really powerful personal element, too, doesn't she? The friendship between Roosevelt and Taft. Exactly. They were incredibly close, and Roosevelt chose Taft as his successor. Their falling out becomes this central tragedy.
So that's what we're diving into for you today. How real social change happens, needing that leadership from the top and pressure from below. And, well, the personal cost when those connections break down.
Maybe we should start with the author herself, Doris Kearns Goodwin.
Oh, definitely. She's a giant in presidential history. Pulitzer winner, Harvard PhD.
And she has this fascinating background, actually starting out as a White House assistant to LBJ. That gives her a unique perspective, I think.
It must. You can feel it in her writing. It's not just dates and laws. She combines, you know, meticulous research with incredibly compelling stories about the people involved.
Right. Like Team of Rivals, her book on Lincoln. She really digs into the personalities, the emotions, the relationships. It's not just about policy wins.
And that focus makes her perfect for this story, doesn't it? Analyzing how a president's actual character, their drive, their flaws, their whole way of being shapes everything they do.
Totally. And crucially, she doesn't just mention the journalists on the side. She puts them right at the center. S.S. McClure, Ida Tarbell, Lincoln Steffens. They're major players in her narrative, not just background noise. Their work was essential.
Okay, so let's lay out the book's core argument. Why did the progressive era reforms actually stick?
Goodwin's big idea is this. It was a symbiotic relationship. You had Theodore Roosevelt, this activist president, working, sometimes deliberately, sometimes just in parallel, with these crusading journalists.
The muckrakers.
The muckrakers. They were like this engine for reform working together.
And you really need that Gilded Age context to get it right.
Oh, absolutely. Think about it. Corporations like Standard Oil, basically right. Running things, no real regulations, child labor, politicians completely beholden to special interests. It was rough.
So into that environment, you get TR figuring out how to use the power of the presidency in a new way.
Right, the bully pulpit idea. And at the same time, you have magazines like McClure's realizing they could change things by exposing all this corruption.
So the dynamic was, the journalists do the digging, expose the awful stuff.
Yeah, like municipal graft or the horrors of the meatpacking industry.
And that creates this huge public outcry. People are furious.
Exactly. And then TR steps in. He uses that public anger, that momentum, as political fuel. The press sort of gave him the mandate, and he turned their reporting into actual laws.
Like the trust busting, the Pure Food and Drug Act.
All of that. But the book, it's structured almost like a play, you know? Act one is the rise of this incredible partnership. Act two, well, that's the tragedy.
The breakup.
Yeah, the unraveling. And Goodwin shows it wasn't just about policy disagreements, though those were there. It was fundamentally about the clash of personalities, the characters of Roosevelt and Taft. And that leads straight to the 1912 election, which just shattered the whole movement.
Let's dig into those characters a bit more. Roosevelt first. What a figure.
Oh, completely. Just pure energy. Ambitious, overcame childhood illness, believed in the strenuous life. He saw everything as a fight, something to be tackled head on.
And Taft. Almost the opposite in a way.
Yeah. In temperament, yes. Very smart, deeply respected lawyer, loved the law. He honestly would have preferred being on the Supreme Court. Politics wasn't really his natural habitat. His wife, Nellie, she was a big part of pushing him towards the presidency.
And then the other main character, the press. You mentioned S.S. McClure.
Yeah, the publisher of McClure's. He had this vision for, like, long-form investigative journalism, paying writers well, giving them time to really dig.
And the work they produced was just remarkable. Ida Tarbell's series on Standard Oil.
Unbelievable. Goodwin details how she spent years on it, not just opinions. She got hold of internal documents, interviewed insiders. It was this meticulous, devastating takedown.
Can the government actually use her work later for its antitrust case, right?
They did. That's the impact we're talking about. It wasn't just commentary. It was actionable intelligence.
And Lincoln Steffens.
Right. With the shame of the cities.
Yeah.
He showed that corruption wasn't just a local problem in one or two places. It was systemic across the country.
So you had all this exposure, this rising public anger. The muckrakers were basically lighting fires everywhere.
Exactly. The question was, who could harness that heat?
Enter Roosevelt. When he becomes president after McKinley's assassination, he just changes the game.
Mm.
He doesn't see the job as just managing things.
No, he sees it as that bully pulpit, a platform for moral leadership. He understood mass communication in a way nobody had before.
And he used it very deliberately with the press, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Goodwin shows it was often a real collaboration. He'd have guys like Ray Stannard Baker or Steffens over to the White House, share information, even time his policy moves to hit when their articles came out, maximize the impact.
That synergy is key. Like the Northern Securities case, that big railroad monopoly.
That was huge, his first major salvo.
But maybe the most famous example is Upton Sinclair's The Jungle.
Right. Technically a novel, but based on his own investigation into the meatpacking plants, the public reaction was just visceral disgust.
And TR jumped on that, used that wave of outrage to push through the Meat Inspection Act, the Pure Food and Drug Act. Even conservatives couldn't block it then.
And all through this period, Taft is there, Secretary of War, TR's go-to guy, incredibly loyal and effective. Everyone saw him as the natural successor.
But then he actually becomes president in 1909, and the different styles immediately cause friction.
Right. Taft was, in many ways, a progressive. He actually prosecuted more trusts than Roosevelt did.
People forget that.
They do. But he was a lawyer at heart, a constitutionalist. He believed in working quietly through Congress, following the letter of the law. Not the big public crusades TR loved. He just didn't have that charisma, that connection with the public.
And that difference led to these key breaking points. The first big one was the Payne-Aldrich tariff.
Yeah, a total disaster politically. It was seen as favoring big industry, rolling back some progressive gains. Taft signed it, which angered the progressives in his own party. And then, oh man, he called it the best tariff bill the Republican Party ever passed.
Oof, terrible politics.
It's just awful. But for TR, the real knife twist was the Ballinger-Pinchot affair.
This is about conservation, right? TR's baby.
Exactly. His chief forester, Gifford Pinchot, a close Roosevelt ally, accused Taft's Secretary of the Interior, Ballinger, of basically giving away protected public lands to private developers.
And Taft sided with Ballinger.
He did. He fired Pinchot. For Roosevelt, who was out of the country at the time hearing about this, it felt like a direct betrayal of his legacy, especially on conservation.
And that was pretty much the end of the friendship.
It completely disintegrated. Goodwin uses their letters, and it's just heartbreaking. The political disagreements turn into these deep personal wounds. TR comes back convinced Taft is destroying everything he built. Taft feels totally betrayed by TR's public attacks.
Leading to 1912, Roosevelt runs against Taft on the Bull Moose ticket.
Splits the Republican vote wide open, and Woodrow Wilson, the Democrat, sails into the White House. The whole progressive momentum within the Republican Party just imploded, a self-inflicted wound, really.
So stepping back from the narrative, what are the big takeaways, the lasting messages from this whole saga? I think there are three key themes that really shine through in Goodwin's analysis.
Okay, what's the first one?
First, the moral megaphone. Roosevelt showed how the presidency could be used, not just administrative power, but the power to shape the national conversation, to frame issues morally, to really lead public opinion. It's about using that platform. Think about how leaders use social media today. It's the modern bully pulpit.
Right. And the second.
The second is the cooperative engine of reform. This is central to Goodwin. Change didn't happen just because of Roosevelt, the great man. It required this team effort. The muckrakers exposing the problems weren't enough on their own. The president having power wasn't enough on its own. You needed both.
It really underscores the need for a strong, independent press, doesn't it? Absolutely. A free, rigorous press isn't a luxury in a democracy. It's essential fuel.
Okay, and the third theme.
Finally, character shapes destiny. This is classic Goodwin. The progressive movement fractured, yes, over policy like tariffs and conservation, but fundamentally it broke over the personalities. Roosevelt's driving, fighting spirit versus Taft's cautious, legalistic approach. They just couldn't bridge that gap in temperament.
It makes you think how often that happens, right?
Yeah.
In politics and business, even in personal life. How much comes down to just fundamental differences in character?
Exactly. Policy is one thing, but personality can be destiny.
Goodwin's writing is so powerful, too. Some of the specific phrases and ideas really stick with you. We already mentioned the presidency as a bully pulpit.
Yeah, it's such a great phrase. It perfectly captures TR's idea that the office gives you this unique power to grab attention, set the agenda, define what matters. It's about moral authority.
And then there's her synthesis of the partnership. Mm-hmm. Something like, the exposure of the problem was only the first step. It took the combination of public outcry, journalistic pressure, and presidential power to forge a solution.
That really nails her core thesis, doesn't it? It's not just one piece. It's the interplay of all three.
Mm-hmm.
Press, public, president, a collaborative model.
And then the human cost. You mentioned the letters. That sentiment from Taft to Roosevelt, something like.
Yeah, paraphrasing. But the essence was, I don't know that I have ever had a man friend who meant as much to me as you have. I can't bear to have a cloud between us.
Oh, it just makes it so real.
It does. It brings it down from abstract political history to this incredible, painful, personal level. You feel the tragedy of that broken friendship at the heart of the political drama.
Hmm. So how can we apply these lessons today? What are the real-life applications? For leaders, I think TR is still a model. How do you build a compelling narrative? How do you mobilize support for big goals?
Matt, Taft is maybe the cautionary tale. What happens with passive leadership? What happens when you fail to communicate, fail to manage those key relationships and public perception? It can all fall apart.
And for the rest of us, as citizens, the book feels incredibly relevant. Right.
Totally. I mean, think about the debates we have now about regulating big tech. The power of companies like Google or Amazon, it's not that different from the fight against Standard Oil back then.
It gives you historical perspective.
Mm.
And it really highlights our responsibility, you know, to support serious journalism.
Yeah.
The kind of deep digging work Ida Tarbell did.
Yeah.
It takes time. It takes resources.
It absolutely does. And on a more personal level, that Roosevelt Taft story. It's just a powerful reminder of how easily misunderstandings can spiral, especially when ego, ambition, and communication breakdown get involved, even in the strongest friendships.
Need for empathy, maybe. Direct conversation.
Definitely. Before things get too far gone.
You know, reflecting on the book, what really struck me the most was just how personal Goodwin makes it feel. That relationship between Roosevelt and Taft. She makes you feel the intensity of it. So their political split feels like this, I don't know, national heartbreak almost.
Right.
It shows how much personal chemistry can drive history.
Yeah, that's a great point. For me, the enduring insight is about the whole ecosystem needed for change. You need that dynamic interplay. Courageous leaders, a press that holds power accountable, and a public that's paying attention and demanding action. They all have to feed each other.
It's not just one hero.
No.
Right.
And the basic model they created using evidence, using communication, shaping public will to drive reform, that's still the blueprint, really. It's how democratic change works, or at least how it can work.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.